BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
The job of a foreign correspondent would be impossible without local journalists, producers and fixers on the ground who know their patch. I might have been to their country many times, but I'm still an outsider. I've always thought it good to retain some distance. Detachment was once assumed to be a journalistic virtue, but that's changing. About 10 years ago, a BBC trainee asked me how important lived experience was for a journalist. I'd never heard the phrase.
Personal experiences are important and always existed. We just never really talked about them.
Until 2022, Dean Baquet was executive editor of the New York Times.
The day we opened up newsrooms to women and people of color, the stories we see became different.
In these programs, I'm taking you to some of the most difficult stories I've had to report and to the obstacles that stand between journalists and the truth. In this episode, do the experiences individuals have in their own lives make them into better journalists?
I believe empathy and impartiality and independence are bedrock rules, and I think we should hold on to those things. But I also believe that a lot of the things we think of as rules are just sort of habits.
I'm Jeremy Bowen. This is Frontlines of Journalism, Episode 4, Rules and Habits. Milton and Cozy started at the BBC as a fixer and translator. He grew up in Soweto, in apartheid South Africa, and he went on to be BBC bureau chief, first for Africa and then Asia.
Do you think that the whole concept of having foreigners coming in and saying what's going on in somebody's country, is there something a little bit even neo-colonialist about? When I was reporting for the BBC in the last days of apartheid, here was I coming in, a white man from the UK. I'd never been to South Africa before, and that's when I first met you. Might have been better had someone with a lived experience of the story of living under apartheid been doing it themselves.
I still believe that you need a blended solution. You use the likes of myself, who reported from their own country of birth about their own story, but working alongside those who came in from outside. I think that combination is important. What you don't want to have is the so-called fresh pair of eyes just coming in and making decisions and telling a story that they don't actually understand. You know, there's a stereotypical way of how the Western media covers developing worlds. Even now, when it's Europe, it's always people coming out of black cars in suits, walking into revolving glass doors and sitting around fancy round tables, solving the problems of the world. And then in Africa, it's always someone running away from a man with mirrored sunglasses. And when I was Africa bureau chief, I tried to fight quite a lot by creating programs that Africans are not sitting there waiting for the West to give them handouts.
Well, a rounded story, 360 degrees.
Yes.
I wanted to write about my community and write about my community in a way that I wasn't often seeing in the media.
Nicole Hannah-Jones is a writer for the New York Times Magazine.
I understood if black reporters weren't reporting, we would never be covered in a complete and honest way.
In 2019, 400 years after the first enslaved Africans were shipped to the British colony of Virginia, Nicole created the 1619 Project for the New York Times Magazine.
The 1619 Project, in some ways, is a work of journalism that I've been working towards my entire life. I've spent my career trying to excavate how racial inequality still shapes so much of our modern society, and that's basically what the 1619 Project argues.
It received widespread praise in 2020. Nicole won America's most prestigious journalism prize, the Pulitzer. But a small group of historians wrote to the magazine to complain about what they called a displacement of historical understanding by ideology.
The New York Times has brushed aside claims by several historians, basically saying that American history is open to interpretation.
You don't make the arguments that we were making in the New York Times and not expect that there's going to be a backlash to that.
Quiet criticism from academic historians was rapidly drowned out
by America's culture wars.
I couldn't have predicted the duration and extent of the backlash.
The 1619 Project and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda.
21 scholars are calling for the Pulitzer Prize Board to strip Nicole Hannah-Jones of her 2020 award.
It's clear from the opening anecdote in my essay where I talk about my father and how I felt about my father that this was not ever intended to be straight news journalism, that it was reported commentary that was making an argument. That is journalism as well.
In 2021, Nicole was denied a journalism teaching post at the University of North Carolina.
The first Knight professor at UNC to be denied tenure.
That was due to my political views, or what they believed to be my political views, and mostly my work on the 1619 Project.
1619, a journalistic project with grand aspirations, became a battleground.
President Trump announced that he would be signing an executive order to create the 1776 Commission, which would promote a, quote, patriotic education.
By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation, and we must not allow that to happen.
I say that my background influences my journalism. The difference is I'm honest about it. Any journalists, white journalists, journalists who come from upper class backgrounds, they're absolutely being shaped by their backgrounds as well. They just don't acknowledge it or believe that to be true.
I don't think that objectivity is possible in journalism because I think we all look at the world through a certain prism based on our experiences, our upbringing, our education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it is possible to put your own deeply held beliefs to one side. I mean, when I've interviewed people sometimes who I've really agreed with, I've derived some satisfaction on a professional level from giving them a hard time.
Right, but that's actually the opposite of putting your beliefs aside. That's being very aware of your beliefs. What you're doing is addressing them and acknowledging them.
The media landscape has changed a lot since I started in 1984. In newsrooms back then, ashtrays overflowed next to clattering typewriters, being hammered by journalists who were usually white and mostly male. That has changed. Many say not enough.
The media, in some ways, of course, is a lot better. It's not more diverse if you look at the numbers of black reporters in mainstream newsrooms, but it's been more democratized in that there are so many different avenues that journalists of color, writers of color can be published and get their voice and perspective out.
I think that is what the internet in many ways has actually allowed to happen.
Milton Nkosi, former BBC bureau chief for Africa and Asia.
Because people can now share their own story. Africans now can tell their own story. You don't want to hear it from London anymore.
Now, you know, as your rise continued through the BBC, they sent you away from South Africa to be based in India to report on South Asia. What was that like as someone who'd grown up knowing your patch intimately, becoming a foreigner?
It suddenly put me in the shoes of my colleagues who used to arrive, came in from London. I would now see things from that prism that, oh my goodness, this is how Jeremy Bowen actually saw it from the airport. It was quite challenging because you are now out of your comfort zone.
Somebody who comes from this part of town.
Emily Bell is a professor at Columbia Journalism School and a director of the Guardian Media Group.
Somebody who has an experience of this religious community is always going to have a lived experience that brings something to a story if it's applied in a fair journalistic context.
Does that mean, though, that it would be far better to get a Ukrainian who knew about warfare to report the war in Ukraine than some bloke from Britain like me?
This is not a binary question. So I think that, first of all, there's good journalism and there's bad journalism. The good journalist who has lived experience of a particular situation is certainly better than a good journalist who has no lived experience of a particular situation. Now, take Ukraine and your role there, Jeremy. It's absolutely the case that if we didn't have reporters and faces on the news that we couldn't easily identify with and have some sort of trust in, that most countries outside Ukraine would have very little interest in the conflict. You need to create that link with an audience.
Say with Black Lives Matter, when you were deploying people onto those stories, would it be necessary to be a person of color?
Oh, I would send a white person into covering anything.
Dean Baquet, former executive editor of the New York Times.
And in fact, when people insisted that we do that, we recoiled. I'm sure there are cases, if I think hard about it, in which we sent people who might have been more comfortable in a different community. But by and large, no. We just sent the best reporters. But I think good reporters can cover anything if they're empathetic, open-minded, and trying to get to the truth.
I believe that good reporting shows you what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. That requires empathy, understanding, and a human connection, but not necessarily the same life experiences. In 1992, Sabina Ćosić had been hired by the Reuters news agency as a translator after Bosnian Serbs put her city, Sarajevo, under siege. I met her while I was there covering the Bosnia War.
Most of the foreign journalists, myself included, would stay in one hotel, the Holiday Inn.
Correct.
What did you make of all of those people?
Well, they were not all the same. They were some parachuters who spent their days in the lobby of the Holiday Inn and collected information from other people without venturing out. There were committed people, like you, who spent vast stretches of time in the city. But the first feeling that I had was, why are these people here?
There's a bit of a move to say that actually it's far more authentic to have people with the lived experience of being part of that society. What do you think of that?
I would say it's as if there is no happy medium. I think there is a way to blend the foreign reporters with the local reporters. It's complementary, it's symbiotic.
On my first trip in 1991, as Yugoslavia was breaking apart, I didn't know much more about the country than the names of its top football teams. By the time the war ended, I was still an outsider, but I knew a lot more than that.
I have become the reporter I've become on race because I treat it as an area of expertise.
Nicole Hannah-Jones of the New York Times Magazine.
I study it. You know, every single person in America went to school, unless they were homeschooled. That doesn't mean they're expert in education reporting. If you want to write about race, I believe that you should have expertise in writing about race. And so whether that reporter be white or black, if you have done your work, you have the expertise, you will cover it well. But I also think you do have to have diverse newsrooms. Will I see stories that my white colleagues will not? Of course I will. Will I see stories that people who didn't grow up in a working class household in Waterloo, Iowa won't see? Of course I will. There are just certain stories that will never get covered if you don't have people coming from diverse backgrounds. This is not about political correctness, it's about accuracy.
Journalism is nothing without accuracy. It is vital in getting to the truth. Next time,
there's always been room for reported fact-based journalism with perspective and with opinion.
Opinion.
Every word that comes out of your mouth, to me, in a way, is a form of opinion.
Well, I'd say it's analysis.
And it's a very fine line between analysis and opinion.
Frontlines of Journalism is presented by me, Jeremy Bowen. The producer is Georgia Catt. The assistant producer is Sam Peach. Additional research by Rob Byrne.
Series mixing by Jackie Marjoram. The series editor is Philip Sellers. Please rate and leave a review to help others find us.